ESPN Radio 93.5,
95.3. It is always a pleasure on Mondays and Fridays to welcome wisdom into the radio booth. Brother Johnny is in studio here live at the Pines in Urbana. Johnny!
Stevie J, great to be here. Nice place you got here, Stevie.
I love the windows. Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, all-around great guy. My kids devoured the pot roast nachos you sent home with me Wednesday, Coach. It was awesome!
Well, good. That's great. I'm glad they loved it because it's a pretty good dish.
Out of Ditka's restaurant
in
Chicago.
Are you kidding me? My favorite restaurant is Ditka's restaurant in Chicago. Did you see the ribeye in bone I had medium rare with mashed potatoes? Crazy!
Yeah, I had one last night. I mean, that's the first steak I've eaten in a long time. I forgot how good they were, but they are good.
You didn't see it for long if Steve had it, Mike.
Yeah, usually when I'm eating with Johnny, he says, "Did you drop your steak?" I said, "No, I ate it."
Hey, Mike, happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There's a lot of people in the Champaign area glad you were born. I know Stevie and I.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we think you just have had great impact on the world, and we appreciate Mike Ditka's birthday yesterday. All right. Let's get right to it. Last night, the Al Smith dinner, listen to this.
I never suggest that the press is biased. I recognize they have their job to do, and I have my job to do. My job is to lay out a positive vision for the future of the country, and their job is to make sure no one else finds out about it.
The unemployment rate is at its lowest level since I took office. I don't have a joke here. I just thought it would be useful to remind everybody.
President Obama and I are each very lucky to have one person who's always in our corner, someone who we can lean on, and someone who's a comforting presence without whom we wouldn't be able to go another day. I have my beautiful wife, Ann. He has Bill Clinton.
Tonight's not about the disagreements Governor Romney and I may have. It's what we have in common, beginning with our unusual names. Actually, Mitt is his middle name. I wish I could use my middle name.
In the spirit of Sesame Street, the president's remarks tonight are brought to you by the letter O and the number 16 trillion.
As some of you may have noticed, I had a lot more energy in our second debate. I felt really well rested after the nice long nap I had in the first debate.
He knows how to seize the moment, this president, and already has a compelling new campaign slogan. You're better off now than you were 4 weeks ago.
I thought it was good, Mike. I enjoyed watching these guys do this.
Well, it is good. I mean, it is good. And I mean, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the election. You know, I happen to be for Romney. It doesn't matter. You know, somebody else is for him. That's fine, too. Whatever it is, it is. But I think somewhere along, you know, the way, I just would like to see, you know, the president's side talk a little bit more about this country and where we're going. And instead of, you know, well, I did this and I killed some of them. That's in the past. We don't live in the past. We live in the present. We look toward the future. We're talking about a deficit that's spiraling out of sight. We're talking about spending. We're talking about all these silly social programs that are ridiculous, that are just eating up the taxpayers' money. I mean, my God, there's got to be some common sense from some of these politicians, and I think most of them are a-holes, I'll be honest with you.
Well, they got a lot of spin going. I thought that the general tone of the whole thing was pretty good, Stevie J. Where else can you get two people that are about to take swings at each other, it looked like to me, Tuesday, and now they're just laughing it up with the Cardinal, who was refereeing them. I think he was a good influence.
Cardinal Dolan sat between them.
Yes, right between them.
And then right behind him, Mike, is Roger Ailes, who founded Fox News. One seat over is Chris Matthews. Wow. I mean, it was
Chris Matthews is a real peach, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. But the fact that they did come together, some good laughs.
Did they have the Rachel there?
Rachel Maddow?
I thought George Soros was back
behind. George
Soros. But I'm not sure.
You got to have George there.
He was
behind. Hell, he bought the world, didn't he?
Well, it looks like
I think that's him behind him right now.
Yeah, I know. We're watching.
I think that is George.
Yeah.
So he seemed to be enjoying Romney's
company. Yeah, he was laughing. Yeah.
So maybe he'll come up with a couple $100 million for Romney.
And Katie Couric was laughing really hard at Mitt Romney's stuff. So it was just like one room for 10 minutes. Okay, let's all laugh, which felt pretty good. All right, we get over to Benghazi in Libya. The AP, very liberal. The AP has come out this morning and said, listen, in 24 hours, the CIA sent the report saying this was militants. Susan Rice is being followed. That's the ambassador of the UN, being followed around in airports, and she won't even clarify why she was on Five Talkers on a Sunday, obviously directed by the White House. they got to come out with the same story. Charles Krauthammer said, it's easy. He said, I always say it's easier to tell the truth. That's easier to memorize, Mike. I mean, this is all, I think it is having an impact.
Well, you know, and whether, you know, the significant thing is here, you know, four people have lost their life. Could that have been avoided? I think that's the whole thing. But maybe it could have, maybe it couldn't have been, I don't know. But after the fact, to lie about what really happened and to say that it all was brought about because some video was shown. And actually, the first time I heard it, I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Somebody's that riled up over a video? You got to be kidding me. And this was a planned attack, period, you know, to coincide with 9/11. But that's what it was. But it took our people too long to figure that out. And I'm not sure I really understand it. What are you hiding? The death, you know, the people have already lost their lives. I mean, you're just covering up who's to blame for it? Well,
why,
you know, terrorists to blame for it.
Do you think the White House
I'll tell you, Steve, the most puzzling and actually really disturbing thing to me, Mike, is someone came up with the conclusion that would be better to try to spin the story, change history as far as what we know happened, rather than take a political hit, which I think was a bad call. I don't even think if you get out there, Mike, if you just say the terrorists hit our embassy in Libya, we're looking at it, we may have been lax in security
we're
here.
We're going to find these guys. Right, and we're gonna,
right.
I think that's what you're right, John.
Right. What are they doing? And they decided that would be bad, so they completely fabricated this other motive that didn't exist, actually reported about demonstrations that didn't happen, and now they're in deep trouble. I suspect somebody like, it had to have been someone like Valerie Jarrett, who decided she's just not in this world, and she's got a lot of influence. I don't think Obama was paying that much attention, which is another thing that got him in trouble, because he was focused on fundraising. He was concerned, but he wasn't really that involved, and he just started reading the deal about this, and then they hung with the story, Mike. They just beat it like a dog, and now they're really in trouble because it doesn't make sense, and it wasn't true.
Absolutely, John. I think you hit it right on the button. And I think the thing really would have went away in a period of a day or two if it would have said, hey, we had a terrorist attack that hit our embassy, and these people were killed, and we're going to look these people up and find them and kill them.
Well, and if it's me, Stevie, and they say you didn't have the right security, I say you're absolutely right.
Right.
This is not going to happen again.
Yeah. And I think, too, I heard somebody say they thought it was because the perception perhaps that's out there that, we got Al-Qaeda on the run. They're on their heels. We got Osama bin Laden. And in reality, according to the CBS 60 Minutes woman who spoke in Chicago, said, hey, they're resurging. Maybe politically they didn't sound good to say, I thought Al-Qaeda's down.
Well, maybe not, but they're still overthinking it.
Yeah,
the truth of the matter is we were hit with terrorists.
Yeah.
That was a story. The American people would not have been that surprised. You can't stop them.
No.
They're everywhere, Steve. And we're doing the best we can. But the point is, what kind of leadership, what kind of system, what kind of mindset would go to the lengths they went to change the story? This is the impact, and I think it is having an impact, Mike. It's just more negative stuff.
Well, the reason it's done, John, is like you said, why would somebody try to cover that up? Because they think they can. I mean, they think they're that powerful. They think they're in a position where they can manipulate the facts and the truth, and that's why they do what they do.
And that's bothersome. That's more of a negative than any part of the story is that attitude. Mike, you're 100% correct.
Well, had they just, you know, come out clean early in the break-in, would Watergate have happened? It was a cover-up, wasn't it?
Sure, and that's what always is the case. But this was so... It was so tortured and such an effort.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense from the start.
And does it look good that the UN ambassador is dodging cameras? Why didn't she address the fact that?
No telling what is going through their minds.
It's just a head scratcher, because I totally am in line with both of you guys and say, listen, no matter who's in the White House, we are vulnerable to this kind of attack. It's horrible, but it's difficult to stop. And maybe we learn from it. Maybe we figure out. I think part of that is we asked for security, didn't get it. That might not look very good for somebody. But
also we are obligatory to the American public to get the facts to them as quick as possible,
right,
the truth, and not to whitewash these things, not to push them under the table, push them out the back door, try to cover them up. That's BS. I think the American people are pretty mature in a lot of ways. Yeah, nobody liked what happened. But I think you can accept it if you understand it. These were terrorists.
Tell us the truth.
And the other problem, Steve, which you kind of referenced, this is extremely important. The longer you're in denial and the longer you're not telling the truth or even recognizing the truth, the longer it takes to fix it.
Yeah.
You can't fix a problem if you will not admit it.
Yeah.
And that's another disturbing part.
Well, and then in the debate, how wild was that that he comes out and said, I said it was terror the next day.
He really didn't say
he said any act of terror.
Andy Crowley knocked Mitt off his game a little bit because he's thinking, wow, maybe I thought we went over this. Did he say it?
Yeah.
And she told him he did. Well, she was wrong, too.
Well, and then he came back and said something different. The White House came out with something different the next day.
So it was
a head-scratcher, Mike.
It's an interesting story, and we're talking about it because it was a debate point. So it keeps coming, too.
Monday.
This AP, yeah.
Monday's foreign policy is a topic. Guess what they're talking about? Starting out with Bob Schieffer, CBS will be the moderator there.
All right,
Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 745 ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3, live in Urbana. It's a quarter till 8 o'clock. We go to sports. Tim Tebow, maybe at running back this week for the Jets, Mike? That's a little unique, isn't it?
Well, you know, John, Steve, he's bigger than I was when I played tight end.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, you got to understand that he can run with the ball. Is it his position? No, I don't think it's something you can do 25 times a game, but I mean, maybe do it 10 times a game or 10 or 12. I mean, I can see that. And then we'll have a package in there for them too. And don't ask me how they're going to make it work. I don't know, but they'll have a package in there for them. I think that here's the point. If you got a good football player, if you got a good athlete and a good, you got to try to find out a way to get him to help your team. Him sitting on the bench or holding a clipboard is not going to do it. No, you see where they put him in. They put him in on as a punt protector. They ran a fake off the punt. You know, you've got to find ways to use him. I mean, I can remember when I thought I was Einstein when I started figuring out ways to use Fridge.
Yeah.
You know, we used him as a blocker. That was fine. Always say, well, if he can block, he can run. Well, if he can run, he can catch a pass. Well, if he can catch a pass, he can throw a pass. So, you know, one thing led to the other and the other, and we had fun with it. And I think for one thing, with the ball club, I really think when you put a package like that, it kind of loosens up your team. They kind of get – it's something new.
Yeah.
And so they kind of get excited about it.
Well, how many years ago did you come up with an idea to have more than one quarterback in the backfield, Johnny, 15?
Well, we were talking about that, and I just think creativity and new things. Look, the coach, the offensive coordinator for New York, wasn't he the head coach at Miami? He's had some ideas.
Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no question about
Spagnuolo?
That.
No.
It's me, John. That would be like
Sperano, isn't it?
Sperano, yeah.
And he's got some creative ideas, Mike. He was doing the Wildcat, was making that work for a while till people figured out.
I agree. I believe me. You know, there's nothing that says that change is not good. Change is good. I mean, if something's different, doesn't mean it can't be good. It can be good. But if you find a way that the other team can't defense it right now, first of all, you make them work on something so much longer in practice. Are you kidding me? Just a certain path. The Wildcat, you know how much time they got to spend on a Wildcat?
Yeah.
I don't care. The shotgun. I remember when it came in, we put it in Dallas with Coach Landry.
Wow.
And then we said, okay, we're going to put it in. The reason we put it in, the quarterback was setting back 5 yards from the center. He could pre-read the defense. And he didn't have to, you know, when he could be back there, the ball came to him. He had a better understanding of where people were going immediately on defense. That was the reason Tom did it, believe me. And then we had all these packages. Then we had a whole running package off of it that was phenomenal. I can still see those guys going through Calvin Hill and those guys going through holes. It was really terrific stuff. And this was all Tom's idea. But it came about for the first thing is this. He had a time from the time the quarterback took the snap under center to the time he hit 5 steps, what it took.
Wow.
So he said, I'm going to eliminate that. The ball's going to come right to him. That's my time to read the defense. And that's what he did. And
that's
it,
probably,
you know,
a second anyway.
It makes sense or doesn't. I don't care. I thought it was terrific.
Well, that's been part of the game.
Let me just ask you, because we touched on Tom Landry a few weeks ago, and I wanted to ask you this question. I didn't get it done since he's back in the conversation, Mike. Would you have been the same leader had you not been around Tom Landry as long as you were?
No, not at all. Not even close. If I wouldn't have met him when I met him, I'd probably be doing something else in life. You know, it wouldn't matter. I met him at the right time. He was probably the most influential impact on my life. I mean, the most influential person I've ever met, for good. for all the right things in life. I mean, here's a guy that was strictly driven by faith, family, and football. I mean, that's it. I mean, it knows what, that order. And you can say the same about Lombardi, but that's who Landry was, faith, family, football. And God, he lived by it, and I knew guys, really, that in the beginning, you know, because he was stern. I mean, he was strict. That didn't like it, but they understood why he did it at the end. They understood and they appreciated that discipline that somebody can give you that you don't have yourself once in a while.
And he was just as honest as the day was.
Oh, absolutely. You know, hey, listen, you may not like it, but when we look films, we looked at films. I mean, if you played good, you were going to be very proud when you walked out of that film meeting. And if you didn't play good, you were going to go out there with your head hanging low, because he would. And he wasn't doing it to embarrass you. He was doing it to be factual. Here's what happened, Mike. You can't miss that block. We got to have that block to make this play work. And he did it with the quarterback, too.
Yeah, amazing guy, Tom Landry. I remember a long time ago, early in the radio career, I called Dallas just out of the blue, cold call, asked to speak to Tom Landry. Spent 15 minutes on the phone, on the air with me.
Yeah, I remember that. He answered the phone for him.
Yeah, just unbelievable. Yeah, what a good guy.
He's about as good as there is. Ever was. I mean, believe me.
Unbelievable. All right. Mike Ditka, you are the general manager of the New York Yankees. You got A-Rod with $114 million, 5-year, no trade clause. What do you do with Alex Rodriguez if you're in charge of the Yankees?
Well, first of all, I think that they kind of threw in the towel. I didn't like what they did with their lineup. I don't care. These are the guys that got me here. These are the guys I'm going to die with. I'm going into battle with them. I'm going to come out of the war. If I lose the war, fine. But these are the guys that I went through the whole season with, whether it's A-Rod or whether it's Granderson or who it is, I'm going to stay with them. That's my opinion. I love Joe Girardi. I'm just saying that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when this season's over, if I decide to make a change, I can make that change. But there's no question. These guys were pressing. They were trying, not because they can't do it. It's because I think they actually tried too hard. It got their timing off a little bit. They were swinging out of sync. But you know, hey, it is what it is. Detroit deserved to win. I really like the Yankees, but I like the Detroit too, because you know they put their bat on the ball. I mean, they have pitching. I mean, my God, I didn't think the Yankees didn't get a hit last night.
Unbelievable. Two earned runs the whole series is what Yankees
incredible.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Well, that's just kind of hitting the wall a little bit. But
could you please explain to me the Cardinals and what a winning culture and expectations of excellence mean to a foundation of organization?
They have a lot of guys who step up when it's time to step up. Look at this. Call it Cozumel, shortstop. Are you kidding me?
Guy.
I never heard of the guy. Then he gets, I mean, how many runs has he driven in? About seven?
I mean, yeah, seven.
Come
or eight.
On. I mean,
Pete
I never heard of the, I swear to God, a week ago, I never heard of him. I saw this guy batting. Boom, bang, he gets a two-run hit.
Yeah.
I'm going, wow. And I think that speaks to the organization, speaks to the manager, speaks to everything that they're doing. And plus, let me tell you what, guys, they got good pitching. They got good starting pitching, and they got good relief pitching. So they're pretty good.
But how do you pick a guy whose only baseball managing experience was Little League? Mike Matheny is the manager. He didn't have any minor league experience. He just put him in. They put a guy that was a Cardinal man in the spot, and he's done wonderfully.
Well, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I thought Little League was the end of the world when I played it. So I thought anybody that managed me in Little League, I thought that was Casey Stengel.
Well, it's a phenomenal
Well,
run.
I went up as far as Pony League. And then I hit Steve's team, so that was the end of my career. But we tried the rally caps. We had
but then you switched to golf.
That's right. That is right. It's fun to watch baseball this time of year, no question. Finally, I loop back around to politics to end this segment about the poll that came out last night. Your home state, Pennsylvania, Romney 49, Obama 45. If Obama doesn't win Pennsylvania, that's big trouble, I think, for the campaign, Mike.
It really is, because Pennsylvania historically has been a Democratic state, period, no matter how you want to cut it. It has been. Now, you look at the you say why. Well, you know, you have the working group in the Pittsburgh area, then the Philadelphia area, which is similar to New York. And, you know, so, you know, anything that was maybe in the middle, you'd get a few more conservatives. But, you know, when you talk about the western and eastern part of the state, that was basically liberal or Democratic. So I mean, if he can win Pennsylvania, now that's a big if.
Right.
It's unbelievable. I mean, when you talk states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, you know, if you even pull your own load in there pretty good, I mean, I think you got a great chance.
Well, if he wins Pennsylvania, he doesn't even need Ohio. I mean, that's just such a phenomenal blind side there that it's just everything's slipping away. But we'll see. I think that you're seeing some of the very traditional Democratic voters. And when I say traditional Democratic voters, I mean folks that just vote Democrat because that's what they've been doing. And I think you're seeing some of them starting to say, you know, I might not vote Democrat.
But don't you think somewhere along the way, even I don't care who you are, somewhere you got to ask, you got to start scratching your head and say, what's going on, really? I mean, do we have any understanding? I know it's a big world and people don't care about this and that. They have no concept what that debt means. They have no concept about any of that stuff, not having a budget. They don't know what that means. But, you know, they don't know that where your food stamps are up, you know, to what degree they're up, how many million they're up. It's ridiculous. So the entitlement programs, but that money has to come from somewhere. Where's it come from? From the taxpayer. So you say, okay, and we just keep, we'll eliminate the tax cuts. We'll raise the taxes on the rich. And I don't think the rich mind paying 40% or 35% or 30%. But the guy who's making under 50 grand or 20 grand, he's got to pay 5% or 2%. He's got to pay something. He's got to have some skin in the game. Everybody does.
And you've got to, and the other side of that is what we focus on, and I think that's legitimate. They're just spending too much money. Yeah. There's no amount of money we can give them. My objection is not the 30, 40, 50%. It's what are they doing with it?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think all these guys were great Monopoly players when they were kids.
I don't know, Mike. I think they probably went bust in the end.
I mean, if you just keep playing. The concept of you know, fiscal responsibility at all. I mean, I know you can't spend more than you earn. Debt is not good. When you incur debt, you incur interest on the money that you owe, and that alone can kill you. I mean, I figured that out years ago on my own.
Well, and remember, money's just a measure of kind of what you've got and what you've accomplished. And it's also somewhat of a measure of your obligation to others.
Yeah.
And if you throw all that system out the window, you're going to still have these relationships, these obligations. And you've got, payback's tough.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, we got to pay, whether it's money, whether it's cattle, whether it's land. Somebody's got to step up and say, okay, here's what we owe you, whether it's back to the banks or the Chinese, Steve.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, those chickens will come home to roost.
We'll leave it there, guys. Mike, I'll call you Monday from Connecticut. We'll watch you all weekend on ESPN. You're terrific on TV. Again, a happy birthday yesterday, and you're awesome. We really appreciate you, Mike.
All right, Mike and Stevie.
Take care. God bless.